Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Alice G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 19th, 2022, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the doctor's opinion, and we are on page XXIX, third paragraph. I do not hold. Reading that one paragraph only, ending on the next page, drinking to overcome a craving beyond our mental control. Today's readers are Shelley E. on the text, Kara L., page 164, and Dana P. is our backup. Audrey M. P. is reading the 12 steps for us, and Joanne L. on the 12 traditions. The share ID number for Monday, April 18th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18855. That's 18,855. And for Tuesday, for today, April 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 18,858. That's 18858. Jody E. is our newcomer greeter today, and Eileen M. is on announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. This is Audrey M.P. calling from sunny Southern California. And these are the, I'm a compulsive overeater recovering with You Visions. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Alice. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everybody. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater, recovering. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXIX, third paragraph, I Do Not Hold. And I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading that one paragraph only, please.
Good morning, Alice. I was playing in and out, but now I'm in. Good morning, Alice. Good morning, my fellows, and any newcomers that happen to be on the line. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. And here's the Big Book. I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. I've had many men who had, for example, worked a period of months on some problem or business deal which was to be settled on a certain date, favorably to them. They took a drink a day or so prior to the date, and then the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests, so that the important appointment was not met. These men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. Again, Shelley E., Arlington, Texas. When I first read the doctor's opinion, or I should say when someone read it to me, it was the first time that I realized I was not to blame, that I wasn't pushing away from the table, or I was just not able to just have one of something. Or if I was able to just have one of something, shortly thereafter, once I was by myself, I was having a lot of that something. And basically, disease had just set up command central in my body. And I had no idea until I read this doctor's opinion. And it offered me, a kind of different way to look at myself. I could be kinder to myself and proceed, and then start looking for those foods that did start me craving more and more. But I'll also say that as I eliminated those things, I realized that my disease, if I was happy, if I was sad, if I was mad, if I had to read on visions, anything like that, would send me straight to the food. I would try and mask all feelings. And in the beginning, I will say to newcomers, it's hard because you do start feeling more. And you feel all of those feelings, and you have to learn to sit with them until you get your concept of your higher power. So I know that for me, this offered a lot of solace in knowing that, okay, it's not all my fault. There is a solution. They're going to share the solution with me further on, and my fellows and my higher power are going to get me through it. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Shelly E. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share. And just please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today? Please, just one at a time. Star one.
Leia S. Kristen R.
Kristen.
Audrey MP.
Audrey. Anyone else? All right, we'll start with those three. Leia S, please star one to unmute your phone, and you'll be followed by Kristen R and Audrey MP. Leia S, tell us where you're from, please.
Okay, this mute button. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. This is so important for me and I think for my entire program, just to review entirely again and again. What is the truth from the false? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Leia S. from Brooklyn, New York. And what is the truth from the false? I didn't even know. Or maybe I did know, but I didn't really bring it to the surface. I didn't really concentrate on that. You know, what is that? Did I really eat the entire package? Or did I really cut the whole thing up? And where is that whole thing? You know, or did I pop that into my mouth? You know, these are just, they're nothings. They're nothings. And all of a sudden, as I came into the program and became completely abstinent, I'm beginning to realize, wow, this is all this that I've been doing. And subconsciously or consciously, whichever way, I was doing that. And then what is the truth from the false? It goes on with the rest of the steps of especially in doing amends. What is my truth? What is really, really my truth? And you know what? When I was bogged down with all that sugar and stuff, it just didn't let me see clearly. And why didn't it? Because I was always lethargic. I was always complaining. I was always doing other stuff that was justifying what was really happening. And the truth of the matter is that I can see clearly today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And even if I can't see clearly, I thank you because, you know, I know that I'm being led in the right way and the right path. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leia S. from Brooklyn, New York. I will now ask Christine R., please star one to share with us and share where you're from, please.
Good morning. This is Kristen R. I live in Virginia, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. So this paragraph really speaks to me today because just this morning I had a craving to pick up. And when I carefully thought about why I was having that craving, I realized that last night when I drank out of a water bottle that my son had been drinking out of while he was eating something sugary, and I could actually smell on the water bottle the confection, that I probably have sugar in my system today. And I probably am responding to that. And coupled with the stress I'm feeling, all of a sudden I'm set up for a craving. And this this, you know, paragraph is so important to me because rather than trying to smash it down, rather than trying to gut it out, you know, I can turn to my higher power, power greater than myself, because I lack power, and ask for help. I could just ask for help. And that will set me free. I could call my sponsor and do a 10 step and tell her what's going on. And that will set me free. I don't have to pick up today. I don't have to give in to the craving, because God alone can help me with the craving. You know, I can't just believe anymore that I am all alone in this world and with no help. I can't believe that anymore. It doesn't work when I try to live like that. It doesn't work when I isolate myself. It doesn't work when I think that I'm special and I'm unique and that I don't really have this problem. When I do, I do. I'm addicted to sugar and flour, and I'll do anything to get them without the help of a higher power. And so I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. Audrey MP, star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, it's Audrey MP. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and in Southern California, and it's actually not so sunny today. But thank you, Team Tuesday. Welcome to the newcomers. I've been really quiet. I love that Leah finally gave me a reading commitment, because I love so much the recovery and the awareness that I have in Vision and Overeaters Anonymous. So Vision for you. Today I want to celebrate 29 years of recovery from my bottom lines. Of 29 years of recovery from binging and purging, and we call it technically bulimia, and I know this isn't a bulimia meeting. I bring in my disordered thinking, and I look to my higher power to help me through it. And with all of you, I've had just another spiritual awakening. I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. And I feel the same way about food. And I know I'm an addict in so many ways, but in food, it's the way that it shows when you walk down the street or when you sit by yourself. And I read the 12 steps today, and I just want to work my 12 step. I've been so quiet, I'm not sharing because I don't feel recovered because my food is messy, or that I'm going through a medical condition, and where is the answer? And I'm over-examined. I'm well-examined. I'm over-examined. And I really, it's come down to praying to my God, my higher power, my Jesus, whoever he is, that watches over me and guides me through my food plan every day. What I need to do. I'm just so glad to be here with you. And I have this phenomenon of craving, and I've ruined a lot of events. I just want to say, you think you got it? Oh, I'm gonna diet before my reunion, and then 3 days before the reunion, you know, you don't fit in the dress that's just been hanging up in the closet for weeks and months in the plan. I just feel like reaching out today. I'll leave my number later if anybody's suffering from my condition. That's the best way I can be helpful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey MP from California. I will now take another list of names of those who would like to share with us today. Please press star one to unmute if you haven't shared in the last 3 days.
Can you tell what page, what date we're reading?
We are on page XXIX in the doctor's opinion, the third paragraph. The third paragraph only. I do not hold.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Trisha D.
Trisha D.
Judy. J. Illinois.
Christy M.
Christy, got you.
Annie. Kathleen W.
Kathleen W. Anyone else?
Annie B.
Annie B, got you. All right, we'll start with that lineup. This is who I've got. Eileen M., Trisha D., Judy J., Christy M., Kathleen W., and Annie B. Eileen M., star one to unmute and please share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And really good paragraph because I'm just thinking back of, you know, whenever I, you know, consume those foods for me that cause craving, the craving would just become so mentally consuming that I wasn't able to focus on anything else. You know, like, so if I was at work and I was eating something that, when I ate it, I couldn't stay stopped. I just wasn't even able to get work done at work. You know, I was so focused on, well, what's that food going to be in the kitchen that I can go back and get later? You know, I remember there was this one time, like many years ago, I was dating my husband, and he invited me to go to a concert that night or something. It was like a Friday night after work, and I was really looking forward to that. And I remember really clearly eating, like I ate my lunch, and then, you know, I was trying to stay abstinent, and then I ate something that caused craving, and then I was just off and running for the rest of the day. And I didn't even want to go to the concert later on because I was so stuffed, and it was just awful. I remember that so well. And, I had been looking forward to it in the morning. You know, I was really, really happy about it. And, you know, it's interesting, the word escape, because I remember that, you know, whenever I had been trying to be abstinent, that, picking up something was an attempt to change my reality because I could not sit with feelings. I just didn't know how to do that. And, you know, picking up was a quick fix for me. And I'm so grateful for long-term recovery that I just don't have to do that ever again. I mean, because now I have a way of dealing with life that I didn't have before. So really grateful, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen. I'm sorry, I didn't catch where you're from. Eileen, can you star one and share with us where you're from? Okay.
Sorry, Eileen M. in New Hampshire.
Okay, I didn't catch that. All right, thank you so much. Trisha D., star one to unmute and share with us where you're from, followed by Judy J.
Good morning. This is Trisha D. from Georgia. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, good morning. Thank you so much for letting me share today. This paragraph is just so spoke to me this morning. That last line where it says, these men were not drinking to escape. They were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. And boy, you know, I'm experiencing that right now. I've had a year of abstinence, and I just got this fabulous news that my youngest child, my daughter, who has been living in California, is now moving back to Georgia, and she and her husband, and I am just so elated and so excited, because, yes, the joy of that, but also I have to catch myself and realize that this excitement is causing me to, I'm not eating any trigger foods. I still have neutrality with the sugar and the flour, but I can feel my desire and my urge to want to have more of my green light foods, you know, where I am putting more in my mouth than I should, that cheese or that cracker, not the cracker, the cheese or the nuts. And I'm like, whoa, stop. You are being dishonest with yourself, and I have got to come clean. I have prayed about it, journaled about it. I've got a note into my sponsor about it. I'm sponsoring myself. I've got sponsees out there. And I just like, Lord, this, even in my excitement, and I've heard many people share that they get so excited that that's their occasion to want to eat. And that was my situation as well. But thank God for the grace of this program and the 12 steps that it's got. Oh, Trisha, stop, halt. You know, call the people you need to call. Get back and pause and pray, which I've been doing this morning, and I'm sharing on Vision today because I know that if I don't get out there, I'm as sick as my darkest secret. And I've got to share that I have been dishonest with this, and I just praise the grace of God to get back on track. So anyway, this paragraph certainly was apropos for me today. It's beyond my mental control, and it's totally through the grace of God that I stay abstinent. And starting, I can start over every day, and it's through the grace of God. It's a strong spiritual program, and it's His power that allows me to stay abstinent one day at a time. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Trisha D. from Georgia. Judy J., you're up next, followed by Christy M.
Thank you. This is Judy with an I, J, from Illinois. And thank you all for your service. And, oh, the shares have been so good. I thought, always thought, my weight and my way of living could be entirely controlled by my mental control. So many times when I faced a special occasion due to my business, a wedding or funeral, people expected it to be perfect. And how did I respond to that emotion? I would binge before the event to the point of actually great pain. But I had to be there for the event. Then the substance was inside me, and it was just raging. I think back on that. I can remember that feeling of it just raging through my veins. And actually knowing the way I was binging was going to cause great pain. I was drinking to escape. I couldn't handle the pressures of doing it perfectly to please others. I'm so grateful I'm abstinent and for these steps that I'm working hard. I don't have that business anymore, but you know what? I still got those emotions, son of a gun. Now I have a relationship with my higher power, a sponsor, and you guys that I can call, because those emotions are still there. And you know what? They're even more prevalent with being abstinent. But I can talk it out with you guys. I can talk it out with my higher power in my quiet time. I can talk to my higher power throughout the day. I even set my phone has a timer on it, and I set it for 2 hours. When I'm having a real, I can tell either I'm very excited, very happy, or sad or depressed. And I set my timer for about 2 hours, 3 hours. It just depends. And when that timer goes off, I can even be with people, and it goes off, and, oh, your timer went off, Judy. That's how I connect up with my higher power. I get grounded. I say it's like Dorothy with her red slippers. I click my heels, and I am a child of God. I am enjoying abstinence. I'm enjoying being with these people. And I wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you all. I'm so glad to come into the program. And I appreciate your returning of calls when I've called and your experience that you've shared with me. So thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Judy with an I. First initial of your last name is J, and she's from Illinois. Christy M., you're up next, followed by Kathleen W. Star one to unmute, Christy.
Hi, this is Christy M., grateful recovering bulimic from Portland, Oregon. And this image of this drinker being unable to control themselves and it being, you know, characterized as a disease and not this mental defect or character defect is something that was so revolutionary for me when I came in. My disease started when I was a child. I had a very traumatic family, and the way I coped with the trauma and instability at home was from food. I would come home from school, and I would just be so anxious about my parents coming home and all the stuff that I would just eat and eat and eat until somebody came home, and I didn't know how to stop. And I would go, even as a child, I would feel so much shame. You know, I would look at all the children who were had normal sized bodies and could like have a sweet and stop eating it, and like wanted to know what was wrong with me. Like I knew something was different. I knew that the other kids, even at that age, could do something that I couldn't. But at a young age, I had internalized that message to be like something was wrong with me. It turned into shame that there was something wrong with me, that something was defective, and I didn't know how to control it. And so that's how, you know, my bulimia evolved, is my way to control the compulsive overeating that I couldn't control. I didn't know how else to have a normal-sized body. So now to come in and to try all these diets, right? Like the same thing happens as an adult. You look around and have friends with normal-sized bodies who can eat normally and just like, gosh, how do they do that? Because I would just try everything. And to come in, and I had a partner at the time who was in another program, and I thought, well, you know, you're lucky they have AA for you. They don't have something for people like me that have eating disorders. And lo and behold, they did, OA, that this is a disease. There is a place for people with my problem. And to come in and say, you know, there's not something wrong with you. Like, this is a disease. This isn't like you don't have enough willpower or you're not strong enough. This is like something that's completely out of my control. And that is, I guess, what lifted the shame of something's wrong with me to, you know, or I'm defective to like, oh, I have a disease. I have a sickness and it can be treated and I can go to treatment. And like that just gives hope. That gave me so much hope that I didn't have to live this way. And I wish in a lot of ways I would have found OA sooner, but I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful to have that message that
time,
there
please.
Is a solution. Thanks, I'll wrap up. And that there's hope. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy M. from Oregon. Kathleen W., you're up next, followed by Annie B.
Hi, this is Kathleen W. from Illinois. I'm just claiming my seat today. I've spent last week, I don't know how many meetings I went to last week, but I didn't go to enough meetings. I got so busy with the things that press in upon me from life and some unexpected occurrence just as the weekend began, you know, the holiday weekend began, that really kind of threw me off. As far as, you know, my eating schedule, and on Friday night, and then, you know, Saturday night and Sunday, it was just a so busy. And I found that, you know, I heard that call today with the woman who shared about being honest. You know, I was eating more than my usual amount of food, though it was a green light food. I found myself doing that, craving more. And, you know, even for Easter, I wanted the breads that were on the table, and I wanted, you know, those things with, you know, breadcrumbs on them. I wanted that. I didn't have it, but what I did is I substituted that with, you know, having more of, you know, cheese with, you know, without the bread, with the meat. And so this call to the end, and today I'm feeling kind of like, you know, I'm disconnected from the fellowship because I haven't been going to the meetings. I've been sponsoring, I've been keeping in touch with fellows, I've been keeping in touch with my sponsor. But, you know, these meetings, I'm so grateful for Vision for You, because when I'm feeling off track and out of sorts and like I'm missing the mark, I'm so grateful for the Vision meeting, because it helps me to get back on track and do what I need to do, do that 10th step, talk about the things that are bothering me, rather than just keep on putting them off so I can, you know, do what I plan to do for the day. So grateful, claiming my seat, and God bless to all. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Annie B., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, thank you. I'm Annie B., recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. I am just so grateful, and that's the first time I said that word publicly, recovered. And I'm just amazed because this is the paragraph that shows, like, so much of the reason why I struggled for decades is because I had a craving that was beyond the problem of mental control. I love that first line that we read that says that I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. It feels a little bit like you're not dumb. Like, we don't just have, like, a mental control problem. Sorry, I think somebody might be unmuted, which is a little bit distracting. And sorry. but then the next line that really stood out to me is, then the phenomenon of craving at once became paramount to all other interests. And that's where I was like, my powerlessness was shocking to me for so long because, I mean, I have three beautiful children and, like, my interest got so stuck on food. I was obsessed with food and I didn't understand it because honestly, my brain was like, what the are you doing? Like, Annie, like, what are you doing? Like, I would watch myself almost like an out of body experience, like on a daily basis, shove excess food into my mouth and stuff my body. And I couldn't even feel it. I couldn't even feel it. I couldn't even taste it. It wasn't good. And then this power that is not from me, that is from my higher power, took a step away. And I'm just so grateful because the powerlessness I had was so extreme and I could so see it. And then the power that came as I was like looking at hospitals to check myself into, when I stumbled into my sponsor that I had known, who was like, I think she said the word hospitalization. And I was like, that's what I need. I need a God hospital. I need a God hospital. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm just so, I didn't believe you all when you would say recovered. I didn't believe you. I promise you. I thought these people are all lying. This is crazy. And I am so sorry. I believe you now. And I totally believe that God has the power to do what I cannot do for myself. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for letting me share. Annie B. in Portland, Oregon. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Annie B. We have time for about four more shares. Star one to unmute if you would like to share with us today on this paragraph on XXIX.
Hi, this is Kim T., Denver.
Kim
T. Joan R., Oregon.
Pam F. Hey, from the first year.
Michelle F.
I think I heard Tara.
Pam F. from San Antonio, Texas.
Pam F. Did I hear a Tara? No.
Darian K.
Okay. All right. That's probably about what I will have time for. Okay. These are the people I captured. Kim C., Joan R., Darian K., and Pam F. Kim C., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, this is Kim T. from Colorado. Thank you. Thank you for your service this morning. I caught a little bit of the earlier meeting today, and somebody shared about how the word craving just doesn't really cut it when, as far as how she's feeling when she's, you know, when the disease has really taken over. And I looked it up in this dictionary I have for 12-step, and it says intense craving, intensely wanting, hungering for, experiencing an intense and often prolonged, urgent, or abnormal desire, yearning or appetite for something, such as a feeling, food, or the effects of alcohol or drugs. And that is it for me, that especially that word abnormal. It's not normal to crave food and to crave, you know, being so stoned on food to just check out of life. And so I want to relate in this morning. It's been a long road back to abstinence, and I have a week, and I'm definitely grateful for that. It's jarring how the disease can just absolutely take over my life. And somebody also said this morning, I think on this call, that you read the doctor's opinion and you learn a lot more about yourself. And that just, boom, that little light bulb in my head. And I thought, okay, I'm just learning more about myself. And everything I learn, whether it's something out of somebody's mouth or I read in the big book, is so true about me. I want to hold on to that. And I just, like I said, I just want to check in and claim my seat. So I appreciate you all being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim C. from Colorado. Joan R., you're up next, followed by Darian K.
Hi, this is Joan from Oregon. So can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you very much. This is a really beautiful paragraph that, as I've heard on the other shares, that this disease takes over our life. I mean, there really isn't any life around this disease. That word paramount, everything is subject to the food and this disease. My love for my God, my love for my husband, my family, the disease was paramount to all of those. And just recently, I've been in program a very long time, and I've had spiritual experiences that, like somebody else shared, you know, they didn't believe that people could be abstinent in the way that, you know, I experienced my sponsor being so clean with their food, and you know, I didn't get it. And then I worked a fourth step on just what was currently bothering me. You know, how we do the fourth step. However they put that. And I was able to get in touch with some of the spiritual blocks between God and myself from my childhood. And it's always had been that way, that I couldn't get a God that was able to release me from this disease, just only partly. And partly is good. But towards the end here, with changes in my life and everything, I needed more. You know, I was just so devastated when I just would keep eating. It was just got to be so abhorrent to me that finally I was willing to listen to you guys and put the last two alcoholic foods down, coupled with that fourth step, was the surrendering that I needed to be able to receive the 10th step promises. And there is different, this way of living now for the last over a month has been as different as night is from day. So if you're new and, you know, you don't have that belief that you can, we can't. You know, we're powerless.
Next time, please.
But we have a higher power that can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Joan R. from Oregon. Darian K., you're up next, followed by Pam F.
Good morning. This is Darian Kay from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, good. Yeah, so grateful to be on the line with all of you this morning. Yeah, so it's funny because I kind of looked at a different paragraph and then I realized you're on another one, but it's all good. It's it just has to do with, you know, the phenomenon of craving and, you know, just not understanding why I just kept going back to the food before program. I didn't get it. You know what I mean? It just seemed like the right thing to do after being on a diet for a few, you know, days. And then it just seemed harder, right, to get back on the stick on a Monday. And I really inside wanted the food more than I wanted to stay on a plan of eating or whatever. We called it at the time food plan with, you know, group support. And, you know, it's just so different for me today. You know, I really do see the importance of, you know, having a higher power involved in my program, having the fellowship, reaching out to others, you know, and getting the support through the people who know best, which, you know, are us in the trenches. Or, you know, we're the ones that have been through the situations and can offer that experience, strength, and hope that no other can. You know, and so I do believe in the power of the relatability and the validation that we get here. And I need it, you know, we need it on a daily basis. Because, you know, left to my own devices, I can isolate and not, you know, talk about it and just be in my own little world. And I think that, you know, after 35 years in program, like, you know, it's no big deal. I can do this myself. I should know what to do. And that is the lie that I tell myself for sure, because I am further away from that desperation, you know, and so... it's a scary thought for me. So, you know, just for today, I am going to rely on this program of recovery that has saved my life and given me so many tools to live life without the food. You know, and I need it more now than I ever did 30 odd years ago, you know, and I'm just so grateful I have it in my life today and that I can tune in to a meeting on a daily basis. I never went to meetings on a daily basis, but it's just a wonderful thing to be able to. Thank you. Thank you to be able to listen to all of you and to get the hope that I need to get me through this day. Thank you, Anna Pass.
Thank you so much, Darian K. from Massachusetts. Pam F., I'm sorry we're not going to have time for you today. I hope you can come back tomorrow. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.